And welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're broadcasting from the 4850-foot level of the Sanford Underground Research Facility. It is the 10th anniversary of Neutrino Day, and we'll get into details about all the events going on Saturday. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about science and construction of experiments. And joining me right now is Christopher Massey. He's the Deputy Director for the Long Baseline Neutrino Facility. Thanks for being on the program.
Good morning, Kara. It's great to be here.
So let's start and just kind of give a brief overview of what this experiment is and where we're at in the process.
Sure. So the Long Baseline Neutrino Facility is going to support the Deep Underground Neutrino Experiment. That's what we're building this facility for. And neutrinos are one of the fundamental particles of the universe. They're very hard to observe. In fact, for most of the 20th century, scientists didn't even know that they existed. But they're very numerous. There's billions of times more neutrinos than there are atoms, electrons, and protons that we all learned about in high school. And so they're all about us. And scientists are really intrigued by them. They think that a better understanding of neutrinos can help us understand why matter, the everyday matter that exists in the universe, exists at all. So it's a fascinating area of study. And what we're trying to build is the facility that will support this large international experiment. And that's another interesting thing about this is something that has scientists from over 30 countries around the world who are excited to have us build this and come here to help to try to advance this science.
And read the data, right?
And read the data.
Right. Yep. But first we have to build it.
First, we have to build it, and that's no small task. There's a lot of work that we have to do. We're here a mile underground at the Sanford Underground Research Facility, where the detectors will be constructed. And one of the characteristics of neutrinos is that they're very, very hard to observe, as I indicated earlier. And so we've got to build these detectors that are going to be very, very large. We'll build maybe four modules that are a couple hundred feet long and about 60 feet wide and 60 feet high. And we have to build them underground here, about in caverns that we have yet to construct, because they're so hard to observe that things like cosmic rays or natural radiation that occurs all around us all the time can confuse the signals. So we want a very quiet place, and that's what building underground here gets us.
But first you have to remove the rock.
So first we have to remove the rock. And so these are very big detectors, and so they need very big caverns. Mm-hmm. And we've got to start the excavation. We want to start it early 2021. But we've got to build a lot of systems to be able to move all this rock. To build these caverns, and we want to build three, we're going to have to excavate almost 900,000 tons of rock. And we've got to have all the systems in place that will move the rock from where we are up the shaft to the surface. And then we've got to build a conveyor system about 3,700 feet long that will take it down and eventually deposit it in the open cut that's right next to the visitor center in Lead.
So as an engineer, this is a bit of a challenge.
It's a huge challenge. I mean, these detectors underground here are very, very large, and we'll be using steel beams, for example, that are 1.1 meters deep and maybe 17 meters long. And we've got to fit that all into this shaft, mm-hmm. where the biggest square opening is about 5 feet by 12 feet. And so we have to...
How do you do that?
Well, you've got to plan it very carefully. I mean, you got to make sure everything fits. The worst case scenario is you have some piece of this intricate modules and they don't fit. And so we spent a lot of time studying that and understanding that and making sure that everything will fit not only down to the 4850 level, the mile underground, but then through the tunnels or the drifts, as the miners call them, to where we're actually going to build these caverns.
To make the curves, right?
To make the curves. It's right. Kind of a getting the sofa around the corner problem on a much larger scale.
Yeah. I know the Lux, when they brought that down, it rode on top of the cage. Mm-hmm. So can you bring stuff down on top? Is that, or is that just too risky?
We'll be using a variety of methods. Mm-hmm. We'll have some things that are inside the cage compartment. There are some of these beams that will build these modules that the detectors go inside. We'll have to hang from the bottom of the cage. Oh. And so that'll be a special procedure that we'll have to get it all the way down. And then we'll have to carefully move it around the edge and into the horizontal tunnel. And then there's curves in the drifts that we have to move the steel components through. So, yeah.
Wow. And so where are we at today? I have a picture of where the first blasts are starting to happen in testing. But that's it, right? We have a marking on a wall.
We have the entrance to where the caverns will be. And yeah. What you're referring to is we did a test blast program. We just wanted to make sure that all of our calculations were correct and that we understood exactly how the rock would behave. And there's other experiments underground here now, too, as well, that are operating. And, of course, they're very, very sensitive, and we want to make sure that we understand when we start this large excavation what impacts it will have on those experiments. And so we actually started the first entryway into the first cavern. But where we are right now is we've hired a contractor who's going to do this first phase of work. They've been out here in Lead a lot. They've been collecting bids for the various phases of the work for this systems that will move the rock from underground up to the surface and then eventually put it into the open cut. And all that is happening right now. These contracts are being awarded over the next couple months.
And hiring old former miners to come back and help with the excavation, is that...
We're very focused on making sure that we use as much local contractors as possible, and we're very excited that we think we've been successful in that. There's lots of different things besides just the mining. There's electrical work, there's civil construction on the surface, there's environmental monitoring and things that have to be done that we want to do right. So there's all kinds of different aspects of this.
In your career as an engineer, is this a rise to the top of complex projects?
Yeah, I would say it's certainly the first one that I've been involved in that's a mile underground. I spent a little over three decades in the Navy doing construction and lots of interesting things there. But this is unique. This is really unique because of the challenges of building something like this to support science in a former gold mine so far underground.
And you're also, you are based out of Chicago, is that right, at Fermilab? Is that where
you're... Yes. Actually part of the facility will be in Chicago. The big detectors are here, but in Chicago we'll be building the neutrino beamline, which creates this neutrino beamline, and then actually we'll shoot it down into the ground so that it comes to the detectors out here a mile underground. And again, because of the properties of neutrinos, they go through matter as if it's not even there. There's 65 billion neutrinos going through your fingernail every second of your life. Again, that's why we want to build it underground to try and shield out all the other distractions as much as possible, and then build these very large, very sophisticated detectors to try and occasionally be able to observe one neutrino interaction.
As it comes through, yeah. So all of this construction is taking place in really 2026, about 8 years is when the beam is expected, or that's the goal, fingers crossed?
That's our goal, yeah. So we want to be able to complete the excavation here and have the international collaboration, the scientists that are teaming up to do this experiment, finish building their detectors and then finish the beam line at Fermilab in Illinois. And have all the systems turned on in the 2026 timeframe.
And the other thing, once you get it built and you get all of the equipment down here, then you have to have the liquid argon in the detectors to help detect the neutrinos, right?
Right. So within each of these big detectors, they'll be filled with liquid argon, and it turns out that argon's a nice substance to be able to detect neutrinos. It's a noble gas, and it's got some nice properties. But we've got to, first of all, buy the liquid argon. That's a big effort. We want to buy up to 70,000 tons of it.
Right.
then we have to get it down underground and then refrigerate it to keep it liquid. And so that's a construction challenge and an engineering challenge in and of itself, because we've got to build these big cryogenic systems underground. So we're working on that now. And we've got a number of partners from around the world. This is an international initiative. CERN, for example, is building this first cryostat. They've designed it, and they're going to, for the first time in their history, support an initiative outside of Europe. So we're very excited to have them coming with us. We have other collaborators from India, from England, from Italy, and other countries that are helping us to build this and to do the experiment.
So they're collaborating not just in the experiment, but in the construction phase of
yes.
it as well.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Christopher, I want to thank you so much for coming down and being on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.